It was the first day of my first class in preaching. And the professor who was leading that class said, one of the things you must never do is inject yourself into the sermon. Never preach about yourself. Well, so much for that rule. Because I'm about, at least here at the beginning, I'm going to say, use myself as an image, maybe a mirror, that perhaps you can use to see into your own hearts. So let me begin by saying this. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, I was young, naive, and idealistic. Yes, I was young once. Jan and I have in locked boxes in our house photographs of a young man who looks somewhat like me, except he has lots and lots of hair and a bushy mustache, and he weighs a lot less than I do now. I was young once, but 40 years have cured me of my youth. I am now a mature man, at least I hope so, but at least I'm much older than I once was. No longer young. But I also said that I was naive back in those days, and I was. You see, I came of age at that peculiar time, that crossroads, where I hadn't seen any of the terrible fighting that had gone on in the civil rights movement in the 1950s and very early 1960s. I just saw the successes, and I saw the passing of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and I was also at the point where I saw the success of the protests against the Vietnam War, and there were also at that time real people who were called hippies roaming around the countryside, telling everyone that they saw peace and love. And there were songs. The airways were filled with songs that were incredibly optimistic. Now, those of you who are younger than I am, I'm going to quote a song here, and I want you to really know that, yes, people used to talk like this. And people used to sing like this. Those of you who are my age, you'll remember when the Fifth Dimension sang a song from the Broadway play Hair called The Age of Aquarius. Do you remember? Let me read some of it to you. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, this is New Age stuff, right? Then peace will guide the planets, and love will steer the stars. And the second verse went on to say, harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding, no more falsehoods or derisions, golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelations, that's drugs, And the mind's true liberation. Aquarius, Aquarius, let the sun shine in. Let the sun shine. There was this naivete that soon everything was going to be okay. Once we identified what was wrong, all people would come together and work to fix it, and things would be wonderful. As another group starting out at that time, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, sang in one of their hits, "We are going back to the garden," an allusion, of course, to the Garden of Eden. But experience has cured me of my naivete. I am sobered by the dogged persistence of sin, by the forcefulness and again persistence of evil that exists in our society. And now, 40 years after those songs were sung, we find ourselves doing all the same things we did back then, only more efficiently because of computers and the social network, smart bombs, and all other kinds of advances in our society. So I lost my naivete over the course of these years. But there's one thing that I've never lost, and that is my idealism. I really do believe that peace and harmony among people is possible. I really do believe that sympathy and trust can abound. I really do believe that falsehood and derision can cease, and that we can live in a moral and ethical world where we think first of the common good before we think of our own selfish needs. And the reason that my idealism has never faded is because they were rooted in something solid. They were planted in fertile soil. My idealism grew out of the prophetic witness that we find in the Old and the New Testaments. Amos, on the front of your bulletin this morning, led justice roll down like a mighty river, and let righteousness flow like an ever-flowing stream. Justice, which talks about society, and righteousness, which talks about personal integrity and behavior. Micah, do justice and love kindness. Luke, as he had Jesus telling us to love your neighbor as you love yourself, rooted deep in that tradition. But it was also nurtured, reinforced, if you will, by the words of Martin Luther King. At the same time that people were singing about the dawning of the age of Aquarius, Martin was preaching to us and saying, well, things like this: injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Or, the hope of a secure and livable world lies with disciplined nonconformists who are dedicated to peace, justice, sisterhood, and brotherhood. One I especially liked, in one of his sermons he said, human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. Every step toward the goal of justice requires sacrifice and suffering and struggle. Love is the only force that can change an enemy into a friend. this. I refuse to believe that humankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and sisterhood and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word. It's been what now, 43 years since Reverend King was murdered in Memphis. And each year, there are pundits in the country and preachers all over the country, including me, that use this day as an opportunity to check, to see how far have we come in our progress in terms of relationships, both interpersonal across racial, perceived racial boundaries. How is our relationships between blacks and whites in America? But also, how is it with relationships across perceived religious boundaries? How is it in dealing with one another? And you could use a number of other categories. I was struck earlier this week or last week when I received an email that was from Bishop Woody White. He's a retired Methodist bishop now, and every year at this time, what he does is he writes a letter to Martin. He was a friend of Dr. King's, and he writes a letter, and he kind of tells him, well, Martin, a lot's happened in the past year, and he marks the high points and low points of the year in race relations. And this year's letter included a story that hurt. He was telling about a friend of his who lives in Atlanta and is a member of a United Methodist Church there. And it was his friend's turn to be a communion steward. Now, his friend's African American, and he, and this is a predominantly white church. And he was thrilled to be asked. And when the time came, he came up to serve communion. And as some people came down the aisle, they realized that he was the one who was going to be serving them communion. And they refused to take communion from him and literally elbowed their way into the other line coming down the aisle so they could take communion from a couple who were white. Bishop White writes about that. It says, that couple does not represent where America has gone to in terms of race relations. Nor does that congregation shouldn't be stained by the actions of those two persons. But he says it is good to remember that racism, wherever it occurs and whenever it occurs, still stays. And that while persons of color are the ones who feel that sting, it is persons of the majority community who are responsible for saying, no, that's not right. And we're going to not allow that to happen. We're not going to act that way. I think that's why we continue to have these Sundays, Human Relations Day in the United Methodist Church, and why we celebrate Dr. King's birthday. It is to remind us that in our country's history, that racism is a terrible stain, and that has bled out over all kinds of relationships. We take time each day to remember that it is all of us working together who will continue to make racism a smaller and smaller and smaller component of American life. Joe Lowry recently celebrated his 90th birthday. Joe is one of those cranky United Methodist preachers who you may have seen him over the years on television, strong voice, standing first with Martin and then with others over the years for racial justice. He recently wrote this to his friends on the occasion of his birthday. He said, "And now remember, we must not let anyone quench our spirits, nor dim our lights, nor mute our trumpets, nor silence our voices. We must not let them work harder, love more dearly, vote more faithfully. We must not let them turn back the clock. We have marched too long, prayed too hard, bled too profusely, and died too young to let anybody turn back the clock on the journey to justice." I'm proud what we do here at Campbell Church. Our relationship with one another across racial lines appears to me to just be right on target. We are open and caring and loving toward one another. We seek to work together and we seek to know each other on a good level across racial lines. I'm thrilled that we've made a commitment to deal with interfaith relationships, not only by sponsoring the 9/11 dinner, but also by working. Of the year with people in the Muslim community to build understanding and justice. The key to our continued work is that we need to be committed to listening to one another, to learning from one another, growing to love one another, and acting together for the good of all of us. We do a good job here at Campbell Church, but there's more to be done. And God calls us not just to say, "Yeah, we do a good job," but to say, with God's guidance, we're going to do even more, and we're going to do it even better to make sure that everyone knows that our God is the God of all people, who cares for our society as well as us individually, and who leads us to a community where justice flows like a mighty stream and righteousness flows. Will you join me in prayer? Dear God, help us to realize that although we've come on different ships, we're in the same boat now. Open us to see that we are all your children, and remind us to extend our hospitality to those in need. When in our humanness we neglect the ministries of love, peace, and justice, impel us to be instruments of your reconciliation. Help us to work to alleviate the circumstances that cause the oppressive conditions in our world. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.